So let's touch on the five pillars. It's important to reiterate and keep emphasizing the five pillars to building a resilient and resilient microbiome and a healthy gut, right? Now, you have to do something in every one of these five pillars. It's not just one of these things. It's not just one of the pillars you focus on. It's not just supplements. It's not just lifestyle. It's not just food. You have to do some things in all of these in order to create an accumulative factor to push the microbiome in the right direction. So let's look at pillar number one, food, right? The most basic thing is eating a diverse diet. Colored fruits and vegetables, polyphenol intake, all of those things feed the microbiome and diversify the microbiome. Adequate fiber intake is absolutely critical, right? Leafy greens, root vegetables, legumes, whole grains, nuts, seeds, all of these things are very important sources of diversified fiber in your diet. What you want to do is try to get at least 50 grams of fiber in your diet per day, right? And for every 10 grams per day you add, it reduces your mortality by almost 10%. Which is absolutely amazing. That's the power of fiber being converted to things like short chain fatty acids and so on in your body. Prebiotic rich foods are also really important. Resistant starches, things like green bananas, oats, cooked and cooled potatoes, sweet potatoes, plantains, all of these things, cassava, they all contain a lot of rich resistant starches. Inulin, so chicory root, garlic, onion, leeks, fruit oligosaccharides that come from things like asparagus, artichokes, dandelions, kiwi fruit. Those are all equally important as well. And minimizing the processed foods, right? So adding diversity to your diet, you have to do that in one way or the other in order to improve your microbiome. And this first pillar cannot be overstated, right? This is one of the most important components to it. And I just see far too many people becoming susceptible to these very narrow diets that are being propagated out there. Carnivore, where you're just eating steak all day long, steak and salt and butter. That does nothing for your microbiome. Maybe you'll feel better for a short period of time, but that's going to have a very negative effect on your microbiome. And you're not being a good steward of maintaining a healthy microbiome to pass it on to the next generation. So, all those people that are like obsessed over carnivore and doing nothing but eating steak all day, they're not helping the human race in general, and they're certainly not helping the microbiome. Meat is a perfectly good part of a balanced diet. There's nothing wrong with meat. And of course, you don't want highly processed meat. I eat red meat, I eat fish, I eat chicken, I eat all kinds of meat, but it doesn't mean that I have to become obsessed about being a carnivore. It doesn't mean I have to be obsessed about being ketogenic or I have to be obsessed about being vegan, right? You can eat a varied diet and add in lots of different things. You want protein, you want carbohydrates, you want nuts and seeds and roots and tubers and all that. So the more diverse your diet can be, the better it is for the microbiome, right? That is the important message. And my goal for everybody is to get a minimum of 50 grams of fiber per day and continuously increase the diversity of your diet. Try to add one new food into your diet every single week. And then measure that and follow that, and then look to see by the end of the year if you've added 40 to 50 new foods and maintain those foods, right? And your microbiome will be eternally grateful and will protect you as a result of that. Other parts of the diet is incorporating healthy fats, right? So wild-caught fatty fish, flaxseed, chia, walnuts, olive oil, rich in polyphenols. Don't get scared by a lot of the seed oil stuff. Yes, if you're eating a ton of processed foods that are all made with seed oils, too much of it can be bad, but it doesn't mean you've got to chuck your flaxseed oil and you have to chuck your peanut oil if you wish. You don't necessarily have to do that. Seed oils with the linoleic acids can be perfectly good for you. In fact, there can be a lot of health benefits of linoleic acid in seed oils. And if you look at the accumulation of human data, there's very little to no data that consumption of seed oils is actually killing you in some way, but there is a lot of good data on consumption of good seed oils that can be beneficial for you. So you have to take those things with a grain of salt. Remember, there's a lot of sensationalism on the internet. and people get obsessed with certain things and keep propagating the same message. So you don't have to be afraid of that, right? You don't have to be going to restaurants if you're going out to eat and asking them about the seed oils and how do you avoid seed oils and can you cook this in tallow instead and so on. All of those things are blown out of proportion, tend to be exaggerated. You know, I would say focus on trying to get some healthy fats in, getting your olive oils in, flaxseed, ghee, tallow is perfectly fine. Fish oils, all of those things, right? A nice diversity of these things. Reducing artificial sweeteners is important. Local honey can be a great source of sweetening things if you wish. Honey has so many benefits for the microbiome, right? So many benefits. Not only can it control microbial growth, control fungal growth, it has a lot of immunological benefits as well and great for your microbiome. I would not be concerned about honey being added to your tea and toast and things like that to sweeten things a little bit. It's not the same insulinogenic response as adding sugar, right? So honey is perfectly fine. Staying hydrated is critically important. Moderate meat consumption. You don't want to do really processed meats, right? So I get meats from the farmers market. Oh, there's this farm that you can order farms for. It's called Four Health Farms, the number four health farms. It's all Wagyu. So I get, you know, Wagyu brisket from there. I get Wagyu ground meat, which is super lean. It's really, really tasty, really healthy, grown, pasture raised, free roaming, all of that good stuff, no antibiotics, and it's not processed because the meat is sent to you as raw meat, and then you cook it however you want, right? So I would say if you're gonna, you know, consume meat, try to get the cleanest version of it, just like the cleanest version of almost anything that you consume. And then avoiding pesticides, preservatives, and other food chemicals, right? So try to eat organic as much as you can. If you have the privilege of having a small garden in your facility, grow some of your produce yourself, your cucumbers, your tomatoes, and things like that. That'll have a profound benefit on your health by doing that. So all these things I mentioned in the diet, it doesn't mean it's a diet, right? Because there's no like label for this. The label is just eating like a human. We're omnivores. We ate lots of things. You want to eat a huge variety. Anthropological studies show that humans ate on average 200 different types of foods on an annual basis. The average Westerner, if you did a food diary, if you took an average standard American diet and did a food diary, they're eating about 10 or 15 types of foods, right? So it's about the diversification. It's about eating real food, not packaged and processed things, and just trying to get a variety into your system, right? That's how you think about eating for your microbiome and the fiber. I cannot emphasize that enough, getting enough fiber into your system. Pillar two is stress management. Stress is one of the biggest effectors of your microbiome. Michael has an amazing module, so I won't say too much about that because he's much more of an expert in dealing with trauma and stress and mindfulness work and all that. But he's got this amazing bonus module on stress reduction and nervous system support, dealing with trauma, all of that that can disrupt your microbiome. He has lots of tools and tools and techniques that you can follow to reduce stress. So this is you have to do something in this pillar as part of a resilient gut microbiome because we all experience stress. We know that, and it's not great for your system. We need to be able to modulate that to some degree or the other. Lifestyle, right? Lifestyle, I would say the most important things in lifestyle to think about is resistance training, right? So anytime your muscles are under stress and contracting, you're not only of course building strength and so on, you're also releasing myokines, which are a set of compounds that have a huge profound effect on your system. They reduce inflammation throughout your body, they seal up the lining of the gut, and myokines can actually diversify your gut microbiome. Now, at the same time, you don't also just want to be inside on a gym all the time because that's an indoor sterile environment. So taking some of your workouts outside is also a great way of doing that. One of my new favorite workouts is I put on a weighted vest. I've got a 30, 35 pound vest, and I go out for a walk and I go through our natural environments, the woods and places like that. And then I stop in areas and I do squats. There's a couple areas where there's steep hills. I go up and down the hills. So I'm getting outside. I'm getting my cardiovascular system pumping and moving and putting some demand on it. But I'm also getting some really deep muscle contraction, which is releasing the myokines, right? So you can do rucking, you can put on weights, you can just carry kettlebells if you wish, go outside, walk around, carry the kettlebells for a minute, put it down, take a rest, carry the kettlebells for another minute, put it down and take a rest. You can do that back and forth, or you can just use body weights or bands and go outside. I'm not saying not go to the gym. Of course, go to the gym, weight train. I go to the gym and I lift, but I also like to make sure I'm getting out and getting some of my activities outside because that exposure is so important, right? Sleep and circadian rhythm, it's really important to be consistent. It's not good to get 8 or 9 hours of sleep one night, then 5 the next night, then 7 the next night, then 9 again, and then 5 again, and so on. What's actually healthier is a more uniform sleep cycle. If you can only get 6.5 hours, you're better off getting 6.5 hours every night than fluctuating between 5 and 9 and 5 and 9, right? That's what the studies show, and it's better for your microbiome and it's better for your overall health as well. Consistency is really the key. That's the same with working out, right? You can't go through 1 week of being really motivated and working out, and then next week you're all lethargic and lazy. It's about the consistency. You're better off working out 2 days a week, every single week, then working out 3 or 4 days 1 week, taking a week and a half off, working another 2, 3 days another week, and so on, right? So those are the important parts of this lifestyle pillar. Add in some resistance training, try to get some of your workouts outside and incorporate resistance training and muscle contraction on your outside workouts. You don't have to just go for a run for 5 miles. You just need to be outside, walk, and create some resistance there. And then with your circadian rhythm, you want consistency. That's the most important thing, right? So do this, try to do the same thing every night. That helps your microbiome a lot. And then community and social connection, right? That social interaction is so important. In all of the blue zones, in all of the places where people live 100 plus, that is one of the foundational things that they tend to have for their entire life is community. Right. So whether you need to, get on meetup groups or whatever, if you don't have people around you that you can get together with regularly, try to form some sort of community if you can, because you want to be among people physically because we're sharing microbes with one another. And it also increases hormones like oxytocin, which reduce stress, which then reduces dysbiosis. So you have to do something within this pillar in order to improve your gut microbiome. Intermittent fasting is something you can consider as well. I've been doing a 16-hour fast, 8-hour feeding window for years now, and I kind of naturally do it. That's just how my lifestyle has adapted to it. There are times where I eat breakfast and I shift that window a little bit, perfectly fine, right? But from time to time, if you're adding in some intermittent fasting, that can be quite good for your system as well. Exposure is important. We went through early birth exposure, skin-to-skin contact with parents, formula-fed versus breastfed. All of that is your early exposure. But then later on in life, we want to try to increase our exposure to beneficial microbes by getting outside, getting a pet, even doing things like going to farms if you can. No, near me, we actually have a lot of farm area about, 15 miles west of where I am. That's one of the areas in where I used to cycle a lot. And you can actually stop by some of these farms and walk around and pet some cows and do some of those things. Interaction with the natural environment and animals is a big thing. Eating in the natural environment is a really, really great way of interacting with the microbiome of the outside world and increasing your microbes as well. So if you go out for a hike in a natural environment or go for a walk in a natural environment, bring some food with you and at some point sit down and eat that food in the natural environment. That can have a huge impact on your microbiome. And be conscious of while you're hiking and all that, pick up a stick, right? And walk with it and pick up a rock and feel the leaves and do things like that. Touch the environment. That has a huge impact. And then when you grab the food that you're about to eat, don't go and hand sanitize yourself. Use the dirt and all that you've picked up from the environment. Can eat with it. It's perfectly fine, right? You're not going to get sick. What's going to happen is your immune system is going to become more robust and your microbiome's going to become more robust, right? Getting a dog is another great way of doing it. There's studies that show that people that get dogs end up with a higher life expectancy and reduce stress, reduce inflammation as well. So you want that. That's another. Not everyone can get a dog, but just so you know, if you're able to adopt one, there's a great health reason for doing that. Overuse of antibiotics and over sterilization. I think everybody gets that. Trying to reduce the amount of sterilization in your household, right? Your toilet, maybe you want to sterilize that from time to time. Your shower, the mold and mildew, that's fine. But the vast majority of surfaces in your home do not need to be sterilized. Like my desk here, I have never sterilized this thing, right? I've never used a chlorine wipe and bleached it or cleaned it that way. I just let the microbes accumulate. That's what we want. We want a healthy home biome. So the kitchen counter, if you get chicken juice, raw chicken juice on it, yes, you'll have to use a sterilization wipe to clean that. But most of the surfaces in your house don't need to be sterilized, right? We use a cloth and we use a water bottle spray with some essential oils in it just for some smell. A few drops of essential oil, so they're not killing things, but they provide you a nice, natural smell. And that in itself is enough for most surfaces in your place. So you don't need to sterilize everything around you.